Amen. Well, the Lord is good. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Hey, by the way, Brother Jerry Seville's funeral will be, I think it's Friday at 1:30, and that's going to be available for you to see live. It's going to be at Eagle Mountain Church, you know, Brother Copeland's ministry. And so I'm sure that's going to be on Facebook and maybe YouTube. But you can watch that live if you're able. And I'm sure as we honor him, as all of us honor him and remember him and celebrate his life of faith and victory, but it's going to be, I'm sure it'll be very inspirational and be a blessing to you if you get a chance to watch that. I know anybody can do this, but I watched his last message, you know, because he preached on Sunday night, and then the next morning, you know, he was dressed and ready to leave the motel when he went home to be with the Lord. But anyway, how many of you know about that and plan on watching that if you can? Amen. Several people, almost everybody. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, the Lord is good. Hallelujah. You ready to get into the Bible study tonight? We welcome you if you're with us online. Hallelujah. Glory to God. An adult Bible study. So we're going to begin tonight in Romans chapter 10. Romans, the 10th chapter. Hallelujah. Romans 10:13. We're familiar with this. For whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him on whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah said, Lord, who has believed our report? So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Amen. So it says, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, let me say some things to you, then we'll go a particular direction, say some things that you're probably familiar with. But you know the word save there is the word sozo, and it just doesn't mean just to be saved from your sins. You know, the word saved or salvation is used a lot of different ways in the New Testament. Same exact Greek word. You know, when Peter was walking on the water, you know, and he began to sink, he said, Lord, save me! Same word. Well, he didn't say, you know, let me come to the altar and get saved. No, he's saying, rescue me, help me, deliver me. I'm about to drown, you know. And so just for instance, in Matthew 1:21, it says Jesus came to save his people from their sins. Well, we're familiar with the word save in that sense, you know, salvation, be born again. Jesus came to save us from our sins. Aren't you glad? Amen. But then in Matthew 8:25, when the disciples were in the boat and they faced a violent storm, a life-threatening storm, and, you know, and Jesus was asleep in the boat. That's that particular story. And they cried out to Jesus, who was asleep, and said, Lord, save us! They're not saying save us from our sins. They're saying rescue us, deliver us, protect us. Same exact word. In Matthew 9:21, we read about a woman who was healed, you know, the woman that was healed with the issue of blood. And she said, if I may but touch the hem of his garment, I shall be made whole. The words be made whole, sozo, saved. If I touch the hem of his garment, I will be healed. I will be made whole. And then in verse number 29, Jesus told her, he said, your faith has made you whole, has saved you. In other words, saved there is used about the physical healing of this particular woman. And then just going right along in Mark 5:23, when Jesus came to Jairus' house because his daughter was at the point of death. You remember that story. Jairus said to Jesus, lay your hands on her that she may be healed. The words may be healed in the Greek, sozo. Same exact word to mean saved from sins. It's translated healed, translated made whole, translated delivered, translated rescued, or means those different things. In Luke 18:42, Jesus healed a blind man, and he said to the man, he says, your faith has saved you. Amen. Well, his faith had healed him. Same word, glory to God. In Acts 4:9, a man is the Bible says he was made whole. This was the man that was laid at the temple gate daily, the gate called Beautiful. Amen. And he was lame from his mother's womb. Think about that, lame from his mother's womb. And in 4:9, it says, if you're referring to, see, Peter's talking to the religious leaders. He said, if you're referring to the man that was made whole, same word, saved. He was saved. He was made whole. When Peter began to sink, as I referred to while after he walked on the water, he said, Lord, save me. In other words, Lord, rescue me. Same word, sozo. In Luke 8:36, there was a man that was possessed of devils, and when he was delivered from demonic power, the Bible says he was saved or delivered. Amen. Let me look at that real quick. Luke 8:36. Hallelujah. Luke 8:36. Keep your place there. They also who had seen it told them by what means he who had been demon-possessed was healed. The New King James Bible says he was healed. I think the King James Bible says he was made whole. The word healed, or translated in the New King James Version, or made whole, or or King James Version, made healed. Amen. It's talking about a person that was delivered from devils. He was saved. He was rescued from those devils. Glory to God. And in studying this out, and you might look at it a different way, but in studying this out years ago, I found out that this word saved or saved, the word sozo, 24 times the word referred to being spiritually saved. 8 times it was translated made whole, referring specifically to physical healing. 3 times it's translated healed, talking about physical healing. And 20 times it has to do with being rescued or delivered from danger. And as you know, the word saved or salvation in the Bible means to be saved from sin, means to be delivered, means to be made whole, means to be rescued. It means to be kept safe or protected, and it means to be made prosperous. And so the word saved or salvation is the all-inclusive word that includes everything that Jesus did for us in redemption when he died on the cross and was raised from the dead. He died on the cross to save us, to deliver us, to heal us, to make us whole, to protect us, and rescue us from any type of danger or demonic activity. So whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But you could translate this, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be healed. Whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be made whole. Whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be delivered from demonic activity and kept from harm. You know, Ephesians says, by grace are you saved. By grace are you healed. By grace are you delivered. By grace are you protected. By grace are you delivered and rescued through faith. See, faith receives everything that grace provides. And so, back in Romans 10:17, we could read this very easily this way. Verse 13, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be healed. Glory to God. So faith receives healing and anything else that grace provides. Now, in taking prayer requests, I'm talking about for over 45 years, really closer to 50 years than 45 years, in taking prayer requests privately, in the church taking prayer requests, and at prayer meetings and phone calls and so forth, you know, 7 out of 10 prayer requests is somebody asking for somebody to be healed or for themselves to be healed. Think about that. I mean, I'm just guessing it, but at least 7 out of 10, maybe 8 out of 10. What most people are, when people turn in a prayer request to this ministry or any other ministry, they're saying, hey, I need healing, or somebody I know of, somebody I work with, some friend of mine, they need healing. And oftentimes, of course, they need healing from something that's extremely, extremely serious. Amen. And so the way we receive healing or any other provision, see, some things aren't promises, they're just provisions. There are things God has already done for us. There are things that are offered to us. Some things are promised to us. But anything that any blessing that's promised to us, any provision, glory to God, anything that's offered to us, the way we receive it is by faith. Amen. We receive whatever rightfully belongs to us by faith. Amen. Hebrews 11:33 says we obtain the promises by faith. So to receive healing, we need to have faith for healing. Not just, a lot of people, you know, in Pentecostal circles, charismatic circles, even Word of Faith circles, healing is our doctrine. In other words, we believe in that healing stuff kind of thing. But that doesn't mean you'll be healed. That doesn't mean you have faith for healing. If you're going to have faith for healing, it's going to have to be because you've spent time in the Word of God and you've looked at healing scriptures, and those healing scriptures are fresh and alive in your heart. Amen. So we receive healing, which is a great problem in the world and a great problem in the body of Christ by faith. And so faith comes for healing, or anything else comes one way. Romans 10:17, we just read it. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You don't get faith by asking for it. You don't get faith by praying for it. You don't get faith by begging for it. You get faith by hearing what the Word of God says. And so if we're going to have faith for healing, which is a great need, and live a long time on the earth, if we're going to have faith for healing, then we're going to have to have, and if we're going to stay full of faith for healing, we're going to have to actually hear and continually hear what the Scriptures teach along these lines. Amen? Because like I said, there are a lot of believers, even Pentecostal charismatic believers, that accept and acknowledge and profess to believe that healing is in redemption and therefore belongs to us, but in everyday reality, they don't have much faith for healing. Amen? And listen, anybody can be attacked with some kind of disease. I don't mean that. Anybody can be tempted to sin. That doesn't mean there's anything wrong with you. But when we're attacked, we ought to be able to overcome. We ought to be able to resist the devil. We ought to use our faith, and we ought to overcome. Can you say amen? Amen? And I know right now there are many of you that are actively believing God. Well, praise God. I'm not saying there's something wrong with you. Geez, like I said, anybody can be attacked. The Bible says, "I will be with you in trouble." He doesn't say that. You know, faith doesn't remove all mountains. It just helps you overcome them when they show up. There's a difference. Amen. Glory to God. But so if we are attacked, we need to overcome. So whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be healed. But then Romans 10:14 says, but how shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? In other words, if you don't believe, he's talking about because they've never heard. But if you don't believe, you're not going to call on him. Now, some people don't believe because they've never heard. Other people hear the word, but they reject it in order to keep their own traditions or to keep their own, or they believe their experiences more than they believe the truth of God's word. But if we don't believe, amen, that healing belongs to us, then number one, we won't call on God at all. Not for healing. I mean, you might call on him for something else. And so there's people all over the world that are Christians that never call on the Lord for healing because they don't have faith for healing. And there are people that call on him for healing. Dear Lord, the Baptist church I grew up in, every Wednesday night, you know, at our prayer meeting, which was just a regular service, but we called it prayer meeting, but they would take prayer requests. And again, most of the prayer requests was, I want y'all to pray for so-and-so's healing. But they didn't call on the Lord in faith. Amen. Well, whosoever shall call on the, well, see, you could really interpret that scripture, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord in faith shall be saved. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord in faith will be healed. So if we don't believe, we won't call on God at all. Or number two, we won't call on him in faith. Amen. And so many people, amen, especially if they or somebody close to them are facing a serious physical condition, I don't care what their doctrine is, they will call upon the Lord to heal them. They call to him earnestly. They call to him sincerely. They call to him in desperation. And they call hoping. But none of that's faith, and they don't necessarily get results. I know years and years ago there was a certain part of my family that went to a church that, boy, they didn't understand Pentecostals and they made fun of Pentecostals. I mean, forget about running around the building. If somebody in church just clapped their hands a little bit, they thought, oh my God, you know, what kick them out of here. What are those Pentecostals doing here, you know? And they just, but when somebody in the family got really sick, like with cancer, they'd call me and they'd say, oh no, we're not saying we don't believe. We want you to pray for us. Because they desperately needed to be healed, you see. And so they would call on the Lord, but they didn't call in faith. They didn't actually believe. Matthew 21, listen to me now. Matthew 21:22 says, all things whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. Mark 11:24 says, whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe, you receive. Well, what if you don't believe you receive? What if you call on him, but you don't call on him believing? You know, in James chapter 1, James says, to ask in faith without wavering, because if you doubt, let not that man suppose he will receive anything from the Lord. And here's what I want you to hear. You know, because people that don't understand, they'll say, well, you're just saying I don't have no faith, and that makes them mad. It's not that the Lord is saying, you old doubter, you don't have any faith, and I'm not going to give you anything, and I don't want anything to do with you. That's not it at all. Faith doesn't earn God's favor. It doesn't merit God's favor. It doesn't deserve God's favor. It simply receives or takes or appropriates what God gives. And if you don't take it, it never becomes yours. And so I had a doctor in town that I knew, you know, I was actually his patient. He's the doctor. And in talking with him one day, he says, "Well, I just don't think you can just make God do something with your faith." And I said, "It's not a matter of making God do anything. It's a matter of receiving what he has already done." Amen. Glory to God. I said, glory to God. And so a lot of people, it's not that they don't have, they're not capable of having faith. They've just never really been taught much about faith. And they don't know how to simply, to be healed, there's two things you have to know. First of all, you have to know it's God's will to heal you. So you have to know about healing itself. But then even if you know about healing, you have to know how to appropriate that healing or take that healing or receive that healing by faith. Amen. I know I was ministering communion to the kids this morning. And, you know, part of communion says that there were many people at the Corinthian church that were weak, that were physically sick, and some had even died prematurely because they did not discern the Lord's body. Well, what does it mean to not discern the Lord's body? Well, that has a twofold application. The Lord's body, you know, is the body of Christ. He is the head of the body. We are his body. The church is the body of Christ. And you know that Corinthian bunch, they had all kind of problems. They were taking each other to court. They had communion together, you know, kind of a family meal together, church meal, covered dish dinner, and they let the poor people do without. And they got over here, some of them got drunk, and they ate and shamed the poor people. See, that's not love. And they had strife and division and arguments and all this kind of stuff. And Paul said, "Listen, you're not discerning the Lord's body. You don't see and understand that that's your brother and sister in Christ, and you need to walk in love toward them." But secondly, we need to discern that the Lord's physical body was broken and beaten for our physical well-being and sustenance. And really, that's maybe the two main reasons that people don't get healed today. Number one, they've got some kind of strife and bitterness and unforgiveness and fussing and fighting and arguing and all that kind of stuff in their life, and their faith won't work, and it cuts them off from the blessings of God and the flow of God's power. Or number two, it's not that they've done anything wrong. They just simply don't know or they don't believe that Jesus, that by his stripes we were healed, and they don't know how to appropriate that healing by faith. Amen. Now, Mark Brzee said this, you know, Mark was greatly used, still greatly used of the Lord. And he said, "Before I knew much about faith and healing," because he fell in love with God and he began to learn some things. But he said, "Before I knew much," he said, "because he had terrible, terrible problems with his sinuses and so forth and allergies." He said, "I did a lot of calling on the Lord to heal me. You know, so whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved, shall be healed." He said, "I did a lot of calling on the name of the Lord, but not much believing." He said, "I didn't know anything about believing." So he said, "I didn't get any answers." He said, "I prayed for 2 years without seeing any results. So I almost threw away my sign that said, 'Prayer changes things.'" You know, you have a lot of people, "Prayer changes things." Well, prayer does change things. But if you pray, nothing ever changes. Then you ought to change the way you pray. Amen. But he said, "When I learned to call upon the Lord in faith," he said, "then I started getting results almost immediately." Praise God. "So whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved, shall be healed. But you have to call on him in faith." You know that. And faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So if you're going to have faith for healing, and you're going to stay strong for faith for healing, and you want to be strong for faith for healing when something goes wrong in your body, I promise you. If you want to build it, if you want to have faith for healing and stay strong in this area, then you need to continually hear what the word says about healing. Now, Brother Hagin, I think he probably considered P.C. Nelson his spiritual father. P.C. Nelson was one of the founders of the modern day Pentecostal movement, you know, and he was an educated man and strong in faith and healing and so forth. And he said, he wrote this down. He carried this and he heard P.C. Nelson say this, and he wrote it down and he carried it in his Bible until he died for the next 60 years, I guess. And this is the essence of it. I got it word for word somewhere, but it in essence said, a statement he heard from P.C. Nelson, which in essence said, "Read all the good books and articles," said periodicals. He meant magazines back then, you know, didn't have things like we have. He said, "Read all the good books and magazine articles you can on the subject of divine healing and faith. Glory to God. Those that particularly appeal to you, keep them and read them over and over and over again. Keep yourself strong in this area of faith and healing, for there will come a time in your life when you're able to save your own life or the life of somebody close to you. Brother Hagin kept that in his Bible. And I know when I was there, we had one class with him, because you wouldn't see this publicly, but one class I had with him, he basically just read to us and then make comments out of the book, Christ the Healer. He really liked that book, Christ the Healer. And he just read it, then he'd make comments about it. And I know one day he was reading that, and he said, I've wore out about 7 or 8 of these, just wore them completely out, because I've read them and studied them and looked at them so much. He said, some of you won't even read it one time. And he said, that's why you're not healed. But you understood what he was saying. Amen. See, if you feed on scriptures about healing, then you'll have faith for healing. That's a revelation, isn't it? But just because you fed on those scriptures in the past doesn't mean that you have faith for healing. If you fed on those scriptures in the past, that means you had faith. They gave you faith then in the past. But it doesn't mean you'll have faith for your answer today. It wasn't what we have heard that counts. What counts is what we are hearing. I'll say that because you've heard me say it different ways, but I'll say it different on purpose. Because we've said for years, faith doesn't come by having heard. It comes by hearing. Amen? So to say it a different way is not what we have heard that counts. What counts is what we are hearing. Glory to God. And we live in a, cut yourself some slack in this sense. We live in an antagonistic world. I mean, the devil and demons and natural reasoning and science and what we call crazy wokenesses. I mean, it just denies almost everything we believe. And so there are enemies to our faith walk and what you can see and what you can, and believe and so forth. And so, because it's so necessary to understand scriptures about healing, what I want to do, and I don't know how long we're going to do this, maybe a couple of Wednesdays, maybe till Jesus comes back. We just want to spend some time looking at various healing scriptures. Usually, my main objective in teaching on healing is to show that it is God's will to heal you because it's in His redemptive plan. In other words, when Jesus died on the cross, He died to save you. He also died to heal you. Because as you know and as you've heard, there's no such thing as faith begins where the will of God is known. And until you absolutely are convinced that it's God's will to heal you right now, then you're probably not going to have much faith for healing. And so that's the clearest and easiest thing to look at. But, there's a lot of different angles to healing and a lot of different approaches to healing. So we're going to look at some different aspects of healing. And we'll cover a lot of different things as we go along, because you see, the Holy Spirit can take just one verse, one word of God, just one verse on healing and make it alive and real to somebody. And that one verse can cause somebody to receive their healing and to live a long time on the earth, because they got healed and they didn't die. So they go on to live. Can you say amen? For instance, every once in a while, and let's turn to Ephesians chapter 6. And here's where we're going to start looking at some different things. Every once in a while, hallelujah, you with me? Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 1. Every once in a while, I'll hear a testimony about somebody that was facing a life-threatening sickness, and they got healed. They could have died, but they didn't. Their life wasn't cut short. They got healed, and they're still healed today just because of this one scripture. I think it was Reverend Kent Blunt. I don't remember the exact story. Ken Blunt was Nicodemus in the old gospel bill. He played Nicodemus. And he was a great guy. He preached for us a couple of times here, and beautiful voice, singing and so forth. But his son was healed. And they recognize he has always honored his parents. The Lord quickened this verse toward him. He's always honored his parents, and because he's honored his parents, the Bible promises him health and long life. And, you know, not the traditional scriptures about by his stripes were healed or, you know, and so forth. Just that one scripture, they got a hold of that, they believed that, they stood on that, and the boy, it was very serious, was healed. I wish I could remember the details. But anyway, let's look at this verse. Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you, and that you may live long on the earth. One theologian said, well now, I mean this is a fact, he really said this. He said, well now in the Old Testament, they were promised longevity. But there's no place in the New Testament where we're promised longevity. Well, I thought, well, you must not can read. Because right here it says, in Ephesians, that's in the New Testament, isn't it? It may be well with you that you may live long on the earth. Now, you know what that is? And I don't want to rush through this. You know what honor your father and mother is? That's one of the Ten Commandments. Honor your father and mother. But if you go back and actually look at that in Deuteronomy chapter 5, it says honor your, verse number 16, Deuteronomy 5:16, and that's what Paul's quoting here and bringing it over into the New Testament. Let me tell you something about the Old Testament versus the New Testament. There are certain things that have been fulfilled by Jesus. They were shadows and they've been fulfilled in Him. But if something in the Old Testament, some principle in the Old Testament has not been fulfilled, then it's not been done away with and it still stands. The Old Testament says, thou shalt not steal. It still stands. That's never been done away with. You don't fulfill that. You follow me? There's principles throughout the Word of God that about faith in the Old Testament. And the book of Proverbs is full of wisdom. Those wisdom principles apply to us today. Glory to God. So in Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse number 16, he's given the Ten Commandments. You know, you shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery. And in verse number 16, he says, honor your father and mother as the Lord your God has commanded you. That's not all of the commandment. The rest of the commandment was that your days may be long. And it may be well with you. See, if you can't get your healing, that's one thing to be attacked. Anybody can be attacked. But it says that it may be well with you in the land which the Lord your God is giving you. Well, that's chalked full of revelation. Amen. Amen. The land. What land? The promised land. The promised land is the place where the promises of God come true in your life. The promised land is a type of everything that belongs to us because we're Christians. It's a type of our New Testament rights as believers. And so it'll be well with you in the land. You'll be blessed in the land. You'll be healed in the land. Glory to God. And glory to God. And you'll live a long time. And it says, which the Lord your God has given you. See, God gave them the promised land, but that first bunch didn't receive it, did they? So there's one of the greatest revelations you can ever receive. You have to receive what God gives. And if you don't receive what God gives, then it'll never be yours. Amen. You've heard us teach along those lines before. But children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Ephesians 6. Honor, New Testament, honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise that it may be well with you. See, it's not well with you if you're sick and can't get healed. If you're weakly and sickly and in poor health, then it's not well with you. The Amplified Bible says, so that your days may be prolonged. Another translation says, so that you may prosper. So in the New Testament, Paul said, if you honor a father and mother, you have the promise of long life and you have a promise that it will be well with you. Glory to God. Amen. I said amen. Well, this is a healing, long life scripture or promise found in the New Testament. And again, over the years, I've heard a couple of different people testify. God brought that scripture to me. The Holy Spirit made it alive and real to me. And because they believed that scripture and confessed that scripture and stood on that scripture and acted on that scripture, they were healed and did not die. Just that one thought. Because any single word of God about healing, true about everything else, but any single word of God about healing that is believed is powerful enough to drive away any sickness and is powerful enough to drive away death itself. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Now, look over at Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. These are somewhat disconnected, but they all come under the general theme of healing. Romans chapter 8. Verse number 11. Romans 8, 11. But if the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead, dwells in you, does the Spirit of God dwell in you, live in you, abide in you? Amen. If the Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life. What does the King James said? Shall quicken means make alive or give life. Shall give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. Well, again, I didn't really see that till years and years and years ago, that could apply and does apply to physical healing. And I remember I heard somebody get up and testify and say, God gave me that scripture. And again, they were facing a life-threatening disease that could have killed them. But they were healed. They just stood on that one scripture. The Spirit of God dwells on me, and the Spirit of God is making alive, giving life, giving life, giving life. See, sickness and disease is incipient death. In other words, it's death begun. But it gives life to our what? Mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. Verse 12, therefore. That means he's connecting verse 12 to what he's just previously said. So Margaret just called me yesterday and said, hey, I saw something about this scripture. I want her to come up and share that with you real quick. Go ahead, baby. Wherever you want to stand.
Good evening. Hallelujah. Well, you know, in my, you know, your Bible time and your reading, I was real excited. I was reading this, you know, if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall quicken your mortal body by His Spirit that dwells in you. And of course, as Pastor Mark said, you know, quicken, and I wrote down some definitions, you know, literally in the Greek lexicon dictionary, it says to cause to live, to give life by spiritual power. Hallelujah. To arouse, invigorate, and give increase of life. How's that sound? Well, does the Spirit of God live in you? Amen. Then He causes you to live. He gives you life by spiritual power, arousing, invigorating, and giving you increase of life. Therefore, you know, and I just never noticed that these were connected. But then when you read something, it says, so, therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. And so this was my thought. You know, we're not bound to what might be going on in our flesh. We're not obligated to live by that. Hallelujah. So, you know, to be a debtor, it means to be held by some obligation, to be bound by some duty, to be an ower. You know, you owe it. So if there is something that is bothering you, there's something in your flesh, in your body, in your flesh, that, you know, is attaching itself to your flesh, you know, you don't have a duty. You're not obligated to live with that and have that be what's fulfilled in your body. Glory, isn't that good news? Hallelujah. Because the Spirit of God lives in you and He quickens and brings life to your mortal body. So whatever it is that's been bothering me or trying to live in my body, the Spirit of God drives that out, quickens and invigorates. I'm not bound to that. I don't have a duty to live under that. Amen? Hallelujah. It says, for if you live after the flesh, you shall die. You know, there's things that if you live according to what your body is telling you is going on, then, you know, that's not good news. But if you, through the Spirit, do mortify, to put to death, by death to be liberated from the bond of anything. Hallelujah. I'm liberated from whatever bond tries to hold on. Glory to God. To make die and render extinct. If you, through the Spirit, mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. Hallelujah. And live, you know, there's different shades of meaning. And according to the Greek lexicon, this live means, and this is the wording, emphatically, strongly, and in the messianic sense. Glory to God, like the Messiah, in the Jesus sense, in the God kind of life, you shall live, hallelujah, enjoy real life, true life, and worthy of the name. Isn't that a good way to live? Say, I live worthy of the name.
Live worthy of the name.
In my body.
In my body.
Hallelujah. Active, blessed, and endless in the kingdom of God. Glory to God. So, you know, if the Spirit of God's quickening and bringing life to your mortal body, you don't owe your flesh anything. It owes you. Amen? And you'll live, hallelujah, and you'll live a real life, a messianic life, a strong life, strengthened and quickened by the Spirit of God from the inside out. Amen?
Ooh, can you say amen? I don't know. Well, we should just let her take over this thing, shouldn't we? I know when it says you're not a debtor to the flesh, you're not a debtor to the flesh in any area. That's a good revelation. I do not have to obey my flesh. I do not have to give in to my flesh. But I think it definitely applies what Margaret said. Aren't you glad? We're not. Say, I'm not a debtor to the flesh in any area. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So as we look at and meditate on these things and focus on these scriptures about divine healing, then God's word, amen, concerning healing and long life will cause faith to arise in our hearts for healing and for long life. But it's something that we have to practice daily and do daily. Amen. I've got a couple of devotionals that are just daily devotionals for healing. I read out of one or both of those every single day of my life. They have to do with faith and they have to do with healing. Of course, if faith will work for one area, it'll work for all areas. So I always want to stay built up in that because we live by faith, we walk by faith, and we overcome by faith. Glory to God, all those scriptures. So that helps us. Glory to God. Let me see where I want to go in the time we have. Let's go to James. James. Hallelujah. Chapter 5. James chapter 5. Is any among you suffering? James 5:13. The word translated suffering there really is not, it means is anybody going through a hard time, a difficult time? Is anybody going through a trial, a test? Let him pray. Amen. You know, a lot of people are going through a hard time and they want somebody else to pray for them. But he says, let him pray. Glory to God. Amen. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing. I mean, if I'm cheerful, then I don't want you to sing psalms for me. So let him pray. Let him pray. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing with him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save. There's that word save. Heal. Will heal the sick and the Lord will raise him up. Well, that's pretty. I don't know what you do with that. I mean, I was thinking the other day, and I don't mean this in any kind of belittling way, but there's churches that have been going on, their denomination, for 200 and 300 years, and they've never done this one time in their church. Not one time. So what do you do with this scripture? And I remember I looked it up one time because I've got some good commentaries from some good men and people of faith, you know, that aren't necessarily Pentecostals, and they have a lot of good things to say. And I go, well, what do they do with this scripture? And you know what one of them said? He said, if we didn't know any better, you'd think the scripture promised healing. Yeah, but it just can't be. In other words, it just can't be. And I went, okay. But most of them more or less say this, and the prayer of faith will save the sick if it's the Lord's will. If it's the Lord's will. Well, the prayer of faith will save the sick because it is the Lord's will. Amen. But here's what I wanted to point out to you tonight. In these last couple of minutes here. Notice the next verse. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. If he's committed sins. People aren't sick. You know, it's possible to be sick because of some sin. But for the most part, people are sick just because they're being attacked by the devil. Because we live in a fallen world. And in this fallen world, there are germs and diseases, you know, everywhere. demon spirits everywhere. And people are sick because, as we said a while ago, they don't know that healing belongs to them. Good people, honest people, sincere people, people that love God just as much as I love God. Or they don't know how to appropriate by faith that healing that does belong to them. But if you're sick because you have bitterness in your heart, somebody, and you've opened the door to the devil and allowed him to move in and, you know, close the door to God and open the door to the devil, he says, and if you've committed sins, glory to God, God will forgive you. And then he'll heal you. You know, Jesus did tell a man one time, he said, go and sin no more. Well, the implication was in that man's particular situation, he was sick because of the sickness or disease. Doesn't mean that God put it on him. It just means that the door was open to this for him. And Jesus told him, go and sin no more. Glory to God. But you know, it doesn't matter what it is, whether sickness, disease, or any other problems we're having in life. Sometimes people are having all kind of problems in their life. You know, in the physical realm, the financial realm, the marital realm. And when they get things right with God and they straighten things out with God, then right there at that moment, the best way I know how to say it is God will begin to bless you on credit. Just because you turned and you repented. Can you say amen? Amen. Glory to God. So Psalms 107. And see, we like that scripture. He sent his word and healed them. How many of you like that scripture? But let me show you that scripture in context. Psalms. Got this new Bible. I haven't quite figured out how to turn the pages in it yet. That sounds funny, but. Verse number one says, oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. So! Never mind. I'm redeemed. Verse 10. Those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, bound in afflictions and chains, because they rebelled against the words of God and despised the counsel of the Most High. Therefore he brought down their heart with labor. They fell down and there was none to help. Then, everybody say then. Then they cried out to the Lord in trouble and he saved them out of their distresses. When they repented and turned, God immediately saved them out of their distresses. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death and broke their chains in pieces. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men, for he has broken the gates of bronze and cut the bars of iron in two. Verse 17, fools because of their transgressions. Brother Hagin had an interesting experience with this scripture. He had a little girl come up that was gotten in trouble and got involved in drugs and got involved in gangs and did damage to her body, and the doctors told her, you'll never be able to have a baby. And she was in the prayer line, and Brother Hagin, inspired by the Spirit of God, said to her, say, I'm a fool, and Lord, I ask you to forgive me. I've been a fool because of my transgressions, and I ask you to forgive me. And so she did. She immediately said that. Brother Hagin laid hands on her, and she was healed. And even though the doctor said it was impossible for her to have a baby, about a year later, she had a baby. Fools, because of their transgressions, because of their iniquities, were afflicted. Their soul abhorred all manner of food. I mean, when you get deathly sick, you don't want to eat. My family was concerned about me when I was diagnosed with stage 3 cancer because, you know, we'd go to the restaurant and I wouldn't hardly eat, but you just don't want to eat. Their soul abhorred all manner of food, and they drew near to the gates of death. Then they cried out to the Lord. Now, see, these people are going through a hard time because of their own mistakes and their own sins. But the Lord shall raise him up, and if he has committed any sins, they shall be forgiven. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distress, and he sent his word and healed them and delivered them out of their destructions. In context, this verse, he sent his word and healed them, is talking about people that were backslidden, that had walked away from God, that had been fools because of their transgressions and messed up and opened the door wide to the devil. And so they were deathly sick among other problems. And when they repented, then God sent his word and healed them. Hallelujah. But that's just how much God wants to heal us. Even if we've messed up and not been right, you know, if we'll make things right, then he'll send his word and deliver us and heal us. And by the way, Brother Hagin, he said, I've had to pray that prayer. He said, we've all been fools at times because of our transgression. So, you know, he said, I've had to say, Lord, I've been that fool. Forgive me. Amen. Praise God. Let's stand together. Hallelujah. So if we want to have faith for healing, you know, one good study, I don't know that we'll do this, but one good study is just to look at every single person that Jesus ever healed and glean what you can glean about that particular case. Glory to God. Because, you know, somebody on social media today kind of acted like, well, is healing all that important? I thought, well, if your son or daughter gets diagnosed with some sickness or disease, that's going to be important to you. And it's the old argument of salvation is more important than healing. Well, who said you had to choose? You can have both. Right. Amen. Right. And everybody in here is already saved. And as a Christian, we need, but in this area, because you know there's a lot of things that can go wrong. But if we just can't function and can't, then how can we? And people don't get this, but how can we fulfill our role in the body of Christ and do what God has called us to do if we're not physically able? And of course, it's costly, and you don't enjoy life, and it hurts in a lot of different ways. So we are against sickness and disease, tooth and nail. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. But faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Amen. Glory to God. God bless you. You're dismissed. We love you so much. Thank you very much for coming tonight.